Greetings, everyone. What a joy and privilege it is today to share the good word of God with you. I thank you for tuning in today. I hope and pray that the broadcast would hit home with you today and be a blessing to you, be a comfort to you, be a conviction to you. I tell you, that's what I look for. I'm thankful that I'm able to sit under those that are God called and that preaches the word. I know a few that are preaching the word of God, and when I listen to them, I'm thankful for that the Lord has speak to my heart. And I tell you, I can feel his presence, and that's what I want. I want to see myself as well. I tell you, I have the word of God here. I'm thankful the Lord meets with me. I'm thankful he speaks to me through his word. I tell you, he comforts me. He also convicts me as I study it, because I'm trying to see myself. And this is a mirror. It is a looking piece, and that's when I put my face in it. I tell you, I see my reflection. I see where I stand with God. And I tell you, that's why we need to read it. We need to study it. And we need to examine ourselves by the word of God. And I tell you, when you do, I tell you what a joy it will be as you correct the error of your ways, as you try to please the Lord. He said, I and my Father will come. Jesus said that when he told his disciples before he went away, make ourselves known to you. He does. And I tell you, I'm thankful for that. I can't thank him enough for it. I tell you what a fellowship it is. I tell you, I'm striving to have more fellowship, to be closer and cleaner, be more like the Lord. I tell you, but I love the fellowship of God. I tell you, I love him to speak to me. I love to sit down and meditate upon him and pray and study his word and just talk to him about my life and about my shortcomings, about things that trouble me, the things that disturb me, the things I get concerned about, get grieved about. I tell you, just all these things, I'm thankful I can go to him. He's just a friend that's closer than anyone can be. I tell you, he's very close and he's there. He wants us to do that, but I find great delight in doing that. I tell you, coming and talking to the Lord, I tell you, he talks to us through his word, and we talk to him through prayer. And I tell you, as we pray and look at ourselves and study, I tell you, it's a joy, it's a privilege. I tell you, it's a fellowship, it's a joy that he gives. It gets better, and it gets better, and it'll get better. The Bible said, and Paul talked about it, he wrote to the churches there, different ones, he told them, and to all of us, that, you know, that this is how your joy will be full. This is how you'll have the peace of God, and to guide you and be with you, that the peace that passes all understanding. That's how we have it, by staying in the Word of God, by staying in the will of God, getting in the will of God and staying in the will of God. That's how you'll have the peace of God. And that's what the Lord wants all his people to have. And so we must fight a good fight. And we must fight the good fight of faith, it says. In the book of Timothy, it talked about that, fighting the good fight of faith. And I tell you, we got to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to fight off the fire darts of the wicked. I tell you, we got the breastplate of righteousness, of love. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation. Our feet are shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. I tell you, we have an armor. We don't have an armor for the back. The Lord intends us to be a true soldier and to fight, not to run, not to turn our backs. We're to fight a good fight. We're to run a good race. And I tell you, it is a good fight to fight. And I tell you, I love the Lord today. And if it wasn't for him, I tell you, being on my side, I've been totally consumed. I've been overwhelmed. I tell you, the devil already took me to hell. I tell you, he's a real being. I tell you, he's a powerful being. I tell you, there's powers, there's principalities in this world. I mean, from Satan himself, great powers. He has his demons. But yet I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. I tell you, the Lord has highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Not bowing down to Satan. And I tell you, not bowing down to him and not living for him, but living for the Lord. I tell you, Lord has highly exalted him, gave him a name above every name, above the angels, everything. I tell you, he got a little lower than the angels because of death and to die in your place and die in my place. I tell you, but he was holy, holy, without spot, without any wrinkle, without any kind of blemish. no kind of stain. I mean, he's like a lamb. I tell you, just totally white and clean. And I tell you, he no spots whatsoever, because he was the sinless one. God became man, got into a body. I tell you, the Lord placed his seed into a womb of a virgin and brought forth his son in this world to become a sacrifice for man, to die for mankind, to take their place, to shed a blood, to shed make a sacrifice that God could accept for the sin of the entire world, for every man, woman, boy, and girl that was upon the earth and the ones that are going to be born afterwards. I tell you, he died for the entire world. He won't have to die again. He died one time. He won't have to die a second time. Thank God for that today. I love him. He has all power, so I serve him. But we're not to serve any other thing. We're not to be wrapped up in this world and the fleshly desires and the fleshly things of this life, the temporal things, the material things. I tell you, it's nothing wrong with having things. It's nothing wrong with enjoying your families, and it's nothing wrong with working hard and enjoying the fruit of your labor. I tell you that God had told us to do that, but not to put it before him and not to run after it and let that be your God. That's what happened to you. You're not careful. That's what Satan will do. Satan is very patient. I tell you, he sifts God's people little at a time, sifts us like wheat. And if we let him, he will sift us totally and completely. But the Bible tells us that we're to be sober-minded, to be clear-thinking. The Bible tells us that, to gird up the loins of our mind. I tell you, because Satan himself, I tell you, he's coming, and he's going to work on us. He's going to work on the high places and of our mind, too. I mean, he's going to disturb us any way and every way that he can. So the Bible said, gird up the loins of your mind. I tell you, that's one thing we got to do. We got to do it. And we gird it up, our minds up, by the word of God. That's how we do it. We get in it. We study it. We love it. Let God feed us. If you save, the word of God will feed you. I tell you, you won't be fond of it. Like one man said, my pastor, great man of God, you'll love it. When you get saved, you'll love the word of God. I tell you, you're not just fond. I mean, you love it. It's pure. I tell you, it's holy. And I tell you, when you start trying to give yourself and he starts fellowshipping with you, I mean, what a joy it is. It feeds you and you need it. And I tell you, you want to hear those to preach. You want to hear people that are real. I tell you, you want to get to church. I mean, you want to take people to church with you. I mean, you just something you don't get over. This is something that's alive. And I tell you, I'm here to tell you, there's a difference in a church membership and turning over a new leaf. And I tell you, then being a true Christian, to be really born again. I mean, really be saved. I tell you, when you really get born again and saved, you join the church. You get baptized in the water. There's first of all the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, first of all, there's a baptism in the name of Jesus, being brought under the name of Jesus and believing on that name. I think that's how you converted. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Acts. You're converted unto salvation by belief on the Lord Jesus, being baptized, brought under his name. I tell you, that's what in that particular time, I tell you, there's so many of them, they didn't, and even today, a lot of the Jews, they don't accept Jesus being the Messiah. They don't accept him being that he is God in flesh, and whom all the scriptures talked about. And he fulfilled all those scriptures in the Old Testament, all the prophecies and so forth. And Jesus is the Son of God. A lot of people will not accept that. They didn't then. But the Bible tells us that you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. And when you get baptized, you be brought under that name. You believe on him out of your heart. I tell you, you'll be converted unto salvation. And then the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, by one Spirit are you all you're baptized into one body. And that's what happens when you really get saved. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that there's doctrines of baptisms. There's more than one. And the book, I believe it's Ephesians, it talked about one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And so that means there's one essential to salvation. There's one baptism that's going to get you to heaven, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, when you really pour out your heart and your heart's broken and you're contrite and you call upon the Lord, I tell you that you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You'll get saved. The Holy Spirit will baptize you and put you into the body of Christ. That's what happens when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then you'll join a church where God's placed you to worship and to be a part of. And then there'll be a water baptism. That's an outward token. It's to show your friends, your loved ones, your family, that what God has done on the inside of you. I tell you, that has no power to save. Water baptism is something that Jesus said we need to do, but it has no power to save. It adds nothing to your salvation. I tell you what it does is it shows that what God's done for you. You used to be dead, trespassing and sin, but He quickened you, made you alive. I tell you, washed you, made you clean. I tell you, you've been dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been submerged. I tell you, your sin's been totally covered by the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, you've been raised up. I tell you, in newness of life. That's what that is. It's an outward token. I know the thief on the side of on the cross there. There was two malefactors, the Bible called them. One on each side of Jesus when He was crucified. And one said, who you say you are, won't you just get yourself down and bring us down from here. And that other one said, you know, in other words, hold you peace. This is a holy man, a righteous man. He hasn't done anything to deserve this, but we have. He saw himself and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. Have mercy upon me. And Jesus said, Lord, remember me. And the Lord said, you shall be with me. And the Lord took him home, but he didn't take him down and baptize him in the water before he died, before he went to heaven. No, I tell you, he saved him right then and there. And I tell you, I believe you ought to. I believe that you should be baptized in that time when the Lord speaks to you about it, when there's opportunity to do so. I believe you should. It's something we're supposed to, but it don't add nothing to your salvation. I say that because you have people that will tell you that you got to be baptized in the water before you can get saved. And most of what they'll do is get a mouth confession out of you, tell you repeat this prayer. They'll baptize you in the water, put your name on the church roll of the church there, and say that you're saved. And that is not salvation. You'll die in sin and go to hell with that. God have mercy upon you. I tell you, I'm talking about something's real. I'm talking about being sorry that you sin against God. You see yourself as a sinner. And I promise you, if you start seeking God and praying, asking the Lord to forgive you, let you see yourself, your heart will become broke. The heart, the very heart of your soul will come broke. You'll get sorry that you sin against Him. And when you cry out to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, He'll save you. He'll make you new. The Holy Spirit will cut out that old heart of stone. Put a heart of flesh there. He'll live inside you to lead, guide, and direct you. You'll never be alone when you get saved. Holy Spirit will live in you. And I tell you something, He'll cover you. He'll be there even to the end of the world. And I tell you, that's what you need. And then the church membership and water baptism, you do that later. But that's the work of righteousness that we do, not what Jesus has already done. And I tell you, it's nothing we can do to obtain salvation. It all comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see my time so quickly come and gone. God bless you in Jesus' precious name, and amen.